WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The award-winning writer Julian Barnes has just published a novel called Arthur and George that focuses on an incident in the life of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the creator of the immortal detective Sherlock Holmes. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that Barnes' investigations and conclusions are far from elementary.
Julian Barnes' latest superb novel starts out in surprisingly plodding fashion. First, there are a few paragraphs devoted to Arthur, next a few paragraphs dutifully accorded to George, then Arthur, then George, Arthur, George, Arthur, George. The choppy two-step sets the pace for book one of this novel that Barnes calls, with a perverse devotion to literalness, Arthur and George, and it could trip up many a lesser writer. But Barnes' perceptions are so frequently startling, his language at once so precise and gorgeous, that the predictable narrative structure serves as a kind of necessary mental relief. And perhaps Barnes is also doffing his hat to Arthur Conan Doyle, the author of the title, who himself clung to the most mechanical of narratives in the Sherlock Holmes stories, and yet out of them created literary marvels. The Holmes stories, in their formulaic fashion, engage the big questions: the mystery of evil, the slippery quality of human identity, the elusive nature of truth. Those are the very same questions Barnes considers here in this moving novel that's based on an actual incident in the life of Arthur Conan Doyle. In 1901, or thereabouts, Barnes is deliberately hazy with dates, a 27-year-old solicitor at law named George Adelgee was arrested, tried, and convicted for savagely mutilating horses in the vicinity of his village outside Birmingham, England. Adelgee was sentenced to 7 years in prison, but only served three because the evidence against him was later deemed to be so shaky. For one thing, George Adelgee was, in the parlance of the day, a half-caste. His mother was Scottish, and his father, the vicar of the village, was Indian. Race prejudice was hinted at as a motive for his conviction. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle became involved in the case after George Adelgee's release. Despondent after the death of his first wife, Doyle publicly threw himself into the effort to secure a full pardon and a financial compensation for Adelgee. And in so doing, Doyle was instrumental in eventually getting the law allowing criminal appeal passed by Parliament. Tracking the faint footprints of the Adelgee case found in Doyle's autobiography, Barnes fleshes out a giant hound of a tale. In Arthur's sections, we follow the messy personal evolution of this great late Victorian writer, who even as he's penning the tales of ratiocination, of cool reason that would make him famous, is becoming more and more drawn into the world of the occult, experiments in table tapping, Ouija boards, and seances. Like many other prominent figures involved in the spiritualist craze that swept Great Britain and America roughly 100 years ago, Doyle felt, as Barnes puts it, that he was pushing at the ironclad walls of a materialist universe. It's a testament to Barnes' ingenuity as a storyteller that George Adelgee's sections never seem to be standing in the shadow of Doyle's larger, more public story, nor do the intersections of the two men's stories feel forced. In George's passages, we readers are transported back into the cloistered childhood of a clever boy in a mixed-race family. A family who's so silently anxious about their status and safety in their provincial English village that, as Barnes describes, even into adulthood, George Adelgee sleeps with his father in a locked bedroom while his mother sleeps with his sister. What framework will make human suffering comprehensible? That was chief among the metaphysical mysteries that preoccupied thinkers great and small during the late 19th century as Darwin ushered in the modern age of doubt. Both Arthur and George endured awful personal ordeals. For Arthur, the long fading away of his first wife from consumption and the death of his eldest son in World War I. For George, of course, his wrongful imprisonment and lifelong sentence to loneliness. To make sense of their suffering, both men here grasp at various systems like spiritualism, the law, Christianity, and romantic love, most of which turn out to be nothing but slim reeds. As Doyle was, Barnes, in this powerful novel, seems to be haunted by the omnipresent threat of the great Grimpen Mire, that swamp of formless menace that in The Hound of the Baskervilles so very nearly swallows up our greatest fictional champion of the powers of reason.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Arthur and George by Julian Barnes.